The race to electrify our cars and our future takes batteries, and they need lithium. And a whole lot of lithium happens to live in and under the rocky hillsides of Afghanistan. Early prospectors to mine lithium there have traveled from China. As the Washington Post's Jerry Shi writes in a new article, he reported on all this from remote northeast Afghanistan, and he joins us now. Jerry, hello.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
The Saudi Arabia of lithium. That's what some have called the mountains of Afghanistan. We know how important lithium is for our electrified future. How much lithium is there in northeast Afghanistan?
Sure. This has been a mystery going back decades, actually. So it was the Russians who first explored the mountains of Afghanistan back in the 70s and the 80s. And then after the U.S. invaded after September 11th, the U.S. Geological Survey also went in, and it left some of its geologists absolutely floored. They said that Afghanistan had some of the highest concentrations of lithium that they had seen anywhere in the world, between 1.8 to more than 2 million tons of lithium. But today, there's still a big question about how concentrated exactly is this stuff. And of course, in the decades since, other countries such as Chile and Australia have really ramped up production, but it is absolutely unquestionable that there are significant reserves that lie beneath those mountains.
Wow. And because of what's there, despite how remote it is, your story describes this kind of 19th century gold rush activity of Chinese prospectors rushing to Afghanistan, panning for lithium, as it were. When did this really start?
This was a place that was racked by fighting for many years, right? And so after the fall of Kabul in 2021, you had, you know, what the local Chinese who were in Kabul told me were 300 of their compatriots who had just basically flocked in thinking, for the first time, there is peace. The Taliban control the country. They are not necessarily opposed to our presence as compared to American mining companies.
Sure.
So why not come here and have a go?
And what signs did you see of Chinese entrepreneurs, hotels, restaurants, all these kind of hallmarks of investment?
Yeah, so, you know, in those early days after the fall of Kabul, as I said, there were hundreds of Chinese miners who flocked there. They were coming in from everywhere from Pakistan, where there's a large Chinese business community. They were coming in from Africa, where, of course, many people might know there's also significant Chinese mining. And so at one point, you know, you had this nine-story, the Guiyuan Hotel in this really nice part of central Kabul. That was packed. Every room was full. They had a hot pot restaurant on the top floor that was buzzing. There were Chinese owners of guest houses who were telling me that, you know, they had full tables of guys playing mahjong every night. You know, it really was kind of this sort of, you know, Wild West situation.
So they're there and the lithium is there, but what will it take for anyone to really start mining and processing it at scale, given, as you write, how remote this place is?
You know, arguably one of the most remote places on the planet for us to reach one of these mines. My colleagues and I, we drove from Kabul about 15, 16 hours. We then had to hike up a mountain about 2 hours. We had to hike across a glacier to finally reach a mine where about half a dozen of these guys were working, and they were carting everything by donkey up and down the mountains. To really sort of develop this industry at scale, you know, it requires smooth asphalted roads, which certainly is lacking in this area. And so the economics have to hit a sweet spot in order for companies to really invest in Afghanistan. The bottom line is that demand is absolutely massive. The International Energy Agency has predicted international demand for lithium will probably rise as much as 40 times between now and in the coming 2 and 3 decades.
And for now, is it clear what companies from what countries might actually be doing this, doing the mining, building the roads and all of it? Have the key government decisions and permits been made yet?
So I would say that Afghanistan is currently hanging in limbo, if you will. Of course, Western companies, because of U.S. sanctions on the Taliban, are out of the picture. China is certainly considered a leading contender simply because they have some of the leading lithium producing companies in the world. They are also less bound, I think, by some of the geopolitical considerations in terms of investing in Afghanistan. The Taliban paused lithium mining about 6 months ago because in the wake of the fall of Kabul in 2021, I had described to you this incredible scene of Chinese sort of small-time investors and prospectors flooding into the country. They were going up into the hills, evading Taliban security forces to scope out the mountain, to measure the rock, to check out the quality of the lithium. It just kind of turned into a frenzied free-for-all. And the Taliban put a stop to that. They even arrested a Chinese businessman for smuggling lithium by the truckloads. And basically the Taliban leadership said, look, it's a national resource. We've got millions of tons of this. We think that it's worth a lot of money, but we want the industry to be well regulated, and we want to strike a deal with a big company that can also bring the new roads and maybe new bridges, new processing plants. So those talks are currently ongoing. We're not close to, I think, announcing a deal yet.
If this has the economic and technology potential of gold back in the day, crude oil back in the day, how much is at stake here?
This has long been considered potentially transformative for Afghanistan. If you think about it, this is a country that, realistically speaking, aside from growing opium poppy, has no real economic driver other than its minerals. The Taliban also recognize that. They think if they can bring in a major investor, they could really transform not just the fortunes of the country's economy, but also it would do a great deal in terms of propping up their legitimacy.
And how do you think about the geopolitical, geoeconomic stakes in kind of this global battery race for whatever company, whatever country gains a large amount of control to start mining this lithium?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the bigger picture question. And now, you know, in this great sort of ironic twist of history, Afghanistan, which had been fighting for 20 years, the American-backed government may sort of be drifting into the embrace of China precisely because of its international isolation and precisely because China has such an insatiable demand for this mineral. In many ways, it's a match made in heaven.
Is there an argument here, and maybe the Chinese companies, entrepreneurs have made this to you, Jerry, is there an argument that, you know what, the Chinese companies are ahead of the world in advanced batteries. Their companies know how to build roads, scale up big industrial projects. And if you want the world to have as much lithium as possible, as quickly as possible, arguably Chinese companies are the ones to do it.
Yeah, certainly the Chinese dominate the lithium refining business. So they need to go to places like Afghanistan, and there are Chinese thinkers and industry analysts who would argue that the Chinese, in fact, are precisely the best people to come in and build roads to places, you know, like the mines that we visited that are 12,000 feet above sea level and require more than a day of driving to reach to, that the Chinese could really come in and have this beneficial effect. Yeah. Now, of course, there's a flip side of that coin, which is that if you are Western governments, if you are the White House that's hoping to pressure the Taliban through sanctions, through economic pressure, hoping that it'll reform its ways. If, on the other hand, you have, you know, Chinese companies coming in there and helping prop up the Taliban regime, that would certainly run contrary to Western interests.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, potentially undercut economic sanctions that the U.S. and other countries are trying to apply. We've been talking to Jerry Shi, Washington Post correspondent, about lithium in Afghanistan and what the future may bring. Jerry, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Scott.